Bala bize sadece rubar Şu sana diye ki Kırda zoci çoğunma Dolu kadu tanem kısak Dali çocuğu cebe sonan cihan Bala bize sadece rubar Şu sana diye ki Kırda zoci çoğunma Dolu kadu tanem kısak Dali çocuğu cebe sonan
First of all, I would like to remind all of ourselves to cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. It's with that kind of bodhicitta motivation that we should all participate in this teaching. As I always remind ourselves that all of us are same in that we seek happiness and the best of everything and we do not wish for any kind of pain and problem. Having said that, but in our real life experiences, as we can all testify, so to speak, to this, that more unwanted pains and problems befall our life, and it is rather difficult for us to find the kind of peace, happiness, and the goodness that we are seeking. So that, in, as a matter of fact, seems like a fact of our life. As we encounter difficulties and painful experiences in our life, we cannot point our finger, so to speak, at others and blame them for all the things going wrong in our life. But rather we should reflect upon the fact that whatever experiences we are going through, these are nothing but the results of our own karmic actions. In other words, that negative karmic actions that we have created and accumulated, as they ripen upon ourselves, then we face or we run into all kinds of painful experiences. So in a sense that we need to own the karmic responsibility that we have so that we understand the underlying causes of our problems and we do not blame other people and other things for things going wrong with our life. Now you might have this kind of doubt. Well, others seem to bring suffering to us. For example, that when others physically harm us, isn't it the case that others are responsible for whatever physical pain we go through, and then also whatever the mental agony that goes with the physical pain? Aren't they really responsible for whatever the physical pain and mental agony that we go through? Now, in order to understand this situation I just kind of created, we need to keep in our mind there are what we called primary causes and secondary conditions. And so there are causes and conditions which come into play. So the experiences that we go through our life, both good and bad, the underlying causes of all our experiences are our own karmic actions, good and bad karmic actions that we ourselves have created and accumulated. So our karmic actions are the primary causes of our own life experiences. But then these karmic actions, they interact with conditioning factors. So this is where other people might come into play, that whatever they said or they did to us, so that simply acted as what we call, to use a technical term, cooperative conditioning factor, simultaneously arising cooperative conditioning factor. That's one mouthful for a translator to say. Anyway, so others could only be conditions to activate our karma, but it's our karma which brings whatever results it brings, good and bad.
So that ranke give me get lesa sa ke jete pati and ye singing thing right?
Of course we do create karmic actions in relation to sentient beings. So in that sense, sentient beings may become what we call the referent objects. It's in relation to them we create karmic actions. Metaphorically speaking, that sentient beings are just like the field in which we, so to speak, sow the seeds of karma. So now looking at this metaphor, right, if you have a piece of land, to grow something, now you can grow anything you want in that. If you want rice, you put rice into that field, what you get back is rice. And if you want peas, or you want any other kind of grains, you put the seeds of those grains into the field is not going to reject, pretty much, I'm not going to, accept that. So field facilitates, the growth of any kind of seeds you put in.
So that you think you're a tiny, drunky, when you think you're a robot, you're a tiny, you're a tiny, you're a tiny, you're a tiny, as you have in the pin, pimper driven again, pimper driven, being able to run that bella town, and the other thing is, they would keep them where.
So, if we look at sentient beings just like a field, a good plot of land, in other words, and so out of love and compassion, When we do something to benefit them, to help them, now this is like planting good seeds into the field of sentient beings, metaphorically speaking. So what do we get in return? We get a good crops. You know, we get the peace, happiness, and the goodness.
Yes.
On the other hand, if we harm sentient beings physically, mentally, or in whatever other ways you could think of, then it's like they're planting bad seeds into the field. So what we get in return are the negative consequences or the results.
So that the rangi sentient yin. Pember doya tang, senji yin, neba mishia, neba kayat, neba shia de kayat, kichi mochi mi chang yoris.
So it is, in terms of that, I often explain to you, and of course to myself, that in our everyday life, we try to see that, if we can, we try to help others and benefit others. But even if we cannot help others, at least we see that we do not do anything that hurts others and that is harmful to others. You know why? Because these different karmic actions which we create and accumulate bring different kind of results.
So,
now, if we try to investigate this matter a little more deeply, so to speak, how come that we harm others, or we say something, do something, or think about something that is negative and harmful to others? So it's basically, if we look deep inside us, our self-cherishing attitude, our wrong chains in Tibetan, that self-centeredness, is what, makes us, motivates us to do negative things.
So that rang kinzin del pa dawane, ye kebran zi bi kinzin te rangil shiyag tab shay gores. Ti shiyag bi yana, ye kebran zon sani, ye nama shiyag maris.
So if a self-cherishing attitude, in other words, that if when we cherish ourselves like anything, even at the cost of others, then we find ourselves indulging in those karmic actions, harmful, destructive, and they're mostly harming others in order to protect the so-called self, because self is so important. Now if we change that attitude, instead of cherishing ourselves, if we cultivate the thought of cherishing others, you see, this cherishing attitude for others, then of course we find ourselves just doing the opposite things. Now we don't harm others, but rather we would like to do whatever we can to benefit others.
So that ye kipan zene rang the yesunata same the yesun dani yin pember drawina teen jeb ta rang the chibu the young girls.
So how can we get the kind of peace and happiness we are seeking? Now, if we train our mind and bring about that inner transformation, is instead of cherishing ourselves like anything, now if we learn to cherish other sentient beings, and we genuinely experience, cultivate that attitude inside us, and follow that mentality, if you like, altruistic mentality, then what we find ourselves doing is doing everything that is good, positive, and beneficial to and for others, and as a result, now we find peace and happiness and goodness that we are really seeking. So in a nutshell, what I've been trying to explain, thus far is, if we do not harm others, but rather try to benefit and help others, so that is what brings us, happiness.
Kerjakan, macam apa ini nak kerjakan? Tuan tuan macam apa ini nak? 아니 다 아니 가버렸대.
And you know, it's very important for us to cultivate that kind of awareness that we should not do anything harmful to others, but rather do something that is positive and beneficial to others. But we need to remind ourselves, you know, off and on about this thing, because, you know, as we talk about these things here in the morning, right, I'm just trying to explain these things to you, then everybody becomes very mindful and aware of this. Okay, so we are very conscientious of what we're talking about. But as soon as the teaching is over and we leave this, you know, building, then we are out on the real, so to speak, world of the outer street, then we even don't smell this attitude. You know, just completely forgotten, and then we just behave the way we have been behaving, you know, zillions of years, you know, lifetimes, you know. So that's not right.
So, 땡 안 죽고 참말로 내 대보시에 감성이 다 기생도 없고 저 뒤 용고가 알았어 뒤 용어 시야발라 나랑 난 생구 토하네
속구가 알았어 So I think we can all agree that everybody wants happiness. But the happiness is something that we have to find within ourselves. So in order to have the happiness inside us, so we need to bring about that inner transformation within ourselves. So in other words, if we are seeking happiness, then we got to look within ourselves and need to work with our mind and bring about the changes which are necessary that would bring the happiness to us.
I must come, sing no come, sing no. That thing you are saying, well, wrong thing to me. When the chat on, I jet on, I get on trouble. Don't you pay my dinner? And they slog a new Lucy, what do you matter? Same thing, well.
And also we are, as you heard Geshe-la use the words, you know, we would like to have, you know, peaceful mind, calm mind. You know, we like calmness. Well, where do we get it? Again, we need to, train our mind and go through inner transformation. And now when we look within ourselves, you know, what really makes us kind of a wild, if you will, and busy and hectic and all kind of stuff, it's because we have so many what we call deluded states of mind within us, delusions, or kleshya in Sanskrit. You know, such as, you know, attachment, anger, hatred, arrogance, jealousy, you just, you know, name it. So when these negative states of mind, you know, are in us, and especially when they manifest within us, so then what happens is our mind is very gone crazy and, you know, busy. So when the mind is crazy and busy, well, then that makes our body crazy and busy. So that puts, you know, the mind, the crazy mind puts the body into doing crazy stuff, crazy things. And that's how we do not experience the peace of mind or the calmness of mind.
same my you at the my cure shiba when the kitchen booking in the hell my cure down that comfort tower in a quarter my cure down the one in your middle in the title came to be in a zoo my cure down from never so I think Ali this cover it in a my cure down remember in vision but not in super social engine but never so I think that we gave us
So what I'm trying to get across to you is this, that each of us need to look within our own mind, and of course we have so many delusions, but then, you know, we need to find out which delusion, hopefully it is a delusion, not delusions, is predominant in our mind. Is it the attachment, or is it the anger or the hatred? Is it the jealousy, or is it the arrogance, or whatever it is? So because that predominant delusion is, you know, driving us nuts and crazy in many ways, and so we need to counteract that particular delusion. Of course, to get rid of that delusion is perhaps in some way a long way to go, okay? But at least we should make efforts to, decrease its intensity, you know, to counteract it in the sense that we can bring that delusion down, kind of a, you know, what you call, not upgrade it, you know, downgrade it, some sense, you know. And then slowly, slowly, as we work with our mind, of course, in stages and in a gradual process, then we hope that, you know, soon we are able to get rid of that delusion or those delusions. So that is the, you know, that is the path, that's the process we have to, I mean, go through to bring about inner transformation and to find the kind of peace and happiness we are seeking. So this is just like a prelude to you know, continue explaining from where we left off in this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Pratama Gita's you know, advice. And I mean, things are just kind of highlighted pretty much actually. It's, I think, relevant for all of us, whether we have been in Buddhist practice for a long time and consider ourselves as old students, not necessarily old in terms of age, but old in terms of how long you have been doing, you know, embraced Buddhism, or we are very new and fresh and, you know, to this spirituality. But these are really something important that we all need to reflect upon in our everyday life. So where we left off last time is, you know, that if there were to be medicine that is kind of a panacea that, you know, cures, you know, each and every sickness that is there, you know, of course, then we're talking about this. I mean, is there such a medicine, you know, at least now? Well, so we don't know. But of course, you know, as I said, that, you know, maybe Tibetan doctors might say that we have those precious pills, what called Rinchen Rilpo, and, they, you know, they do all this, you know, stuff. Anyway, no.
So,
So in order to explain the real, so to speak, the spiritual concept, so we try to use different metaphors and examples. So the example that we're using here is, you know, because we go through all the physical, you know, sicknesses, so if there were to be a panacea, you know, that could take care of all kind of sicknesses, well, how wonderful that would be, right? Who wouldn't want it in the first place? The issue is, does such thing exist or not? Well, that's a different matter, okay? But when we think in terms of, you know, from a spiritual point of view, we are suffering from sicknesses of negative states of mind or deluded states of mind. But there is, you know, here panacea like antidote that can uproot or take care of all the delusions.
Yes.
So as I was explaining to you, that according to the Kadampa Geshe's here, particularly Great Adisha, the wisdom gone beyond, the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is, shunyata or sunata, the ultimate nature of phenomena as it is, that wisdom, you know, it is the panacea to cure us of all the sicknesses of delusions.
Mm.
And I just want to clarify that, you know, it is the subjective wisdom that, you know, experiences emptiness as it is, which is the antidote, not the objective emptiness. Okay, so we should not confuse the subjective mind that experiences emptiness and the objective emptiness that is being experienced by it. Those are two different things. Okay, so emptiness, we are not saying that emptiness is the antidote to everything. No, we are saying that the wisdom that realizes or cognizes emptiness, experiences as it is, so that is the antidote to all our delusions.
So that, nobody is doing this.
So long as we do not realize what emptiness is, then we don't, get out of samsara. We are just trapped within samsara or sickly existence.
That is junsi karre se cheng duwe. That junsi karre se na da kuntem magu. Junsi karre se na.
So why do we stress so much the essentiality and importance of realizing emptiness, to be free from samsara or sickly existence? It's because, when we have delusions within our mind, that's how we are trapped in samsara. So long as we have delusions or deluded states of mind, we are in samsara. But once we are free of all the delusions, then we are out of samsara. But how do we get, how to free ourselves from delusions? That's what we're talking about. That's where we need to realize emptiness as it is.
So the quality.
Because of that, our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, out of his really infinite compassion and wisdom, using many different ways and reasonings that he tried to guide us or lead us into understanding what emptiness is. So in other words, what I'm trying to explain here is that everything that Shakyamuni Buddha has taught, either it explicitly teaches us what emptiness is, or it implicitly reveals what emptiness is. So all the teachings given by Buddha, in that sense, is meant for us to be able to understand what emptiness is. For example, as Buddha talked about different types of karmic actions, positive and negative or neutral, and the different results these different karmas bring forth. How Buddha says that if you do something negative, then you will have negative experiences. If you do something positive, then you will have positive experiences. But as we see Buddha explicitly talking about the nature of the karmic action and so forth, but implicitly he's also, revealing to us emptiness.
Pena. Diva me give a china, dungi nyonji yabatam. Only Diva me give a ripempe, meva zoyate, Tama zoji yabat, the Tamalo, put truth on your language in Majupa. You can attend that, Toda, some me. The name in Sante, to show what is.
So, how is that, if you ask? If Buddha is talking explicitly about law of karma and its consequences, so how is that? He's implicitly really, I mean, revealing to us emptiness. Is the reason why we could perform good and bad actions, and how good and bad actions could bring good and bad results, is just because things are dependently existent. Is it because of emptiness that things have become possible and things could come into existence? You see, and why we have so much hope to be able to counteract our delusions and be free of delusions, be enlightened, is just because why that possibility exists is because of emptiness. You see, nothing exists in and of itself, things exist dependently. So that's why Buddha talked a lot about the dependent origination, in Sanskrit called Pratit Samutpat, or Tendal in Tibetan, or Tenjung. Yes.
So, sir, that company turned to it, Lil Habuki Maris, Kaburis, you know, could to jump a chef in the name Toyota thing, you had your scarries, Mzupe Mangu or was any Sajitum in the San Jenny, San Jenny, Mambushum, or Tavana, you could talk to Mambushum to some look, then it turned to any, and this Sanji component, Tobris, Sanji Compa Tobris.
I do not intend to sort of send a message that is really kind of easy, to realize emptiness. It is not. It's very difficult. But, you know, difficulty does not mean that it's not at all possible to realize emptiness. If we make consistent efforts, you know, we will be able to realize emptiness as it is. And we have many great examples. I mean, just, you know, how many realized beings have there been, you know? And how have they become realized and holy? Because they made efforts and they realized the true nature of phenomena. Okay? So that tells us the possibility that we also have the possibility and hope to realize emptiness, only that we need to apply ourselves into the necessary practices.
That kasang kinsam din din masyong yun na hindi imbas. That yun tawa digre. Kung ba ni tawa ki konas, lam si kyo tan si jaram dosum. Kung ba ni tawa yun na ka kyo jingan dos kasika namre. Kung ba ni mi pao chito tabi yun, lam si kyo tan ti konas, hindi ba rin kanasong.
No. As great Adisha was trying to explain to the three great disciples, particularly Dumdun Gyebe Jungne, that emptiness, in a sense, incorporates or it embodies all other phenomena. Okay, and now John the Baptist asked for clarification. What do you mean? You know, what do you mean that emptiness incorporates or embodies, all other, phenomena? All the spiritual paths, phenomena in the sense of spiritual paths.
That is the lenders on the one. Lamji.
So how is that emptiness embodies all the spiritual paths? Now Adisha explains that when think of all the spiritual paths leading to enlightened state or Buddhahood, all those paths can be included within or categorized within the six perfections or six parameters.
That is, that means the higher thing, na, ali tambo chukud mangu zici na, chuba karre se na, jimbe parshins ali tambo dushi.
And I think most of you know what the six perfections are, but anyway, I'm going to make sure and list them first. The first is the perfection of generosity or giving. And then the perfection of ethics or morality. And next, the perfection of patience or tolerance or forbearance. And then the perfection of enthusiastic perseverance. The perfection of concentration or samadhi. And then the perfection of wisdom. So those are the six perfections or parameters. Now all these perfections are, you know, in a sense, you know, part and parcel of the perfection of wisdom. Individual practitioners cultivate the perfection of wisdom, which is the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is, then all the other remaining five perfections, you know, somehow, how should I say, somehow come to, so to speak, to the practitioners. So, in other words, that all the perfections have a very intimate relationship or association with the perfection of wisdom. And how is that? You know, if you realize emptiness, you know, then your practice of the perfection of generosity or giving would really be, you know, so to speak, a super duper, you know, perfection practice. So, once we realize emptiness, then what happens is that now we are able to let go our attachment and grasping at all kinds of phenomena, internal and external phenomena, or outer and inner phenomena. You see, I mean, I think of that. If we do not have any attachment and grasping at things and resources, and wouldn't that be easy to give away stuff? See? So that's why it becomes easy to practice the perfection of giving, because now we have the mind to give, because we are not attached to anything. We don't want to keep stuff, you know, to ourselves. So because we are not attached to or clinging to our material stuff, especially, and all phenomena, as a matter of fact, so then, you know, that helps us to, you know, that augments our practice of giving. Because now we find it, you know, much easier to give things to others. So now I hope that you can see the connection, that as Adichie is trying to explain, that if we, you know, correctly, unmistakably realizes emptiness, how that facilitates our practice of giving, that we are really not attached to and we're not clinging to our phenomena.
So that's the thing.
Also, when we unmistakably realize emptiness, That means we are not attached to and clinging to any phenomena, including material things. So which means that now we are not creating negativities in relation to phenomena. You see, we are not getting angry at someone, or we are not, creating negativities out of attachment to get stuff, for ourselves. And we don't become jealous of others, because of letting go, that grasping. And we are not going to indulge in deception. We are not going to deceive others. We are not going to play tricks on others. Why is that? Because we do not have attachment and grasping to stuff. That makes us usually deceive and cheat others, do things which harm others in order to get what we want, and all of those. Now all those things, stop.
So that kechem do watana ali shi tomba ni ten shi ni ma de to wa yin na ji bi pha shi de ya ta wa yin na ji ta ti tho la ni ta ten zhen zhen jia me wa yin zhen ni ani zhi zhen ji zhi zhen ji pha shi de ta bi ta wa ya bu jin de shi ka na
so ma. So when we don't have an attachment grasping two things as a result of realizing emptiness, then that also helps us to with the perfection of ethics. You see, now because attachment is what really often comes in the way in our transgression of vows and commitments. So when we don't have attachment and grasping, then our practice of observing ethics become very pure.
Migiri teme magupi chum te ani junki mebada yan ta sosiji.
So in other words, we will continuously experience the sense of the pure ethics, because our mind is not stained by the negative thoughts and the negativities. That's because we have realized emptiness and we are not attached to and grasping at things.
And now,
as a result of realizing emptiness, as I said, we do not have grasping. So that means we also don't get mad and angry, because we don't have the sense of I and mine so much. The grasping at I and mine. This is my. This is who I am, and this is what belongs to me, mine stuff. So when we don't have the grasp, that kind of grasping at I and mine, so we don't get mad and angry with others. So when you don't get mad and angry, there's no anger. That's where the patience is. See? Yeah. So that's how the realization of emptiness helps us to with the perfection of patience.
Yeah.
So in other words, that as a result of realizing emptiness, that we find ourselves continually experience the peace of mind, the sense of patience. And as a result of realizing emptiness, we find ourselves being very enthusiastically pursuing all other remarkable qualities and positive qualities. So we don't feel complacent about what we have. We would like to cultivate and accomplish all the realizations that there are to be accomplished. So that's where the enthusiasm, the enthusiastic perseverance or the joy comes into play.
So 那但是现在修了因为因为的因为的因为嘛，所以在军队几年里的因为用过这些呢。
And you know, one of the reasons or the causes of you know, not having good enthusiastic perseverance, if you will, is because our mind is very much distracted. We get easily distracted by all kind of stuff. So once you realize emptiness, you gain certain stability of the mind, and so now we are able to focus on what we are doing, and that too enthusiastically. So because of that stability of the mind, which comes with the realization of emptiness, now as you can see, that really facilitates our cultivation of the perfection of samadhi or concentration. Now, you know, our mind is not wandering all the time, it's all somewhere, you know, but it is with us and, so to speak, at home. And so we are able to, experience the perfection of concentration.
No. あなたにたあてやら、おにぃ。サンディジュパラジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジュジ
So as we realize emptiness, especially in how do we really realize emptiness, or is...As we just explained how the perfection of wisdom, it relates to all other perfections, such as giving. Is that the technical term we use is like in the case of the practice of giving, there are three things. You know, we call them the three, literally three circles, but it's more like the three, variables perhaps. That's where my social science comes play in there. The three variables of giving.They are like, you know, we as giver, right? That's one variable. And what we give, that is the substance, the another variable. And to whom we give, the recipient, the third variable. So when we see that all these three variables, which are intimately connected with one another, right, do not exist in and of themselves.You know, independently. So that is what we are reflecting on the emptiness of the perfection of giving. You know? And so that helps us to realize emptiness.
No, that didn't ever see.
And the same thing goes with all other perfections.
Yes.
Now as the great master Adisha explains about the essentiality and the importance of realization of emptiness, you know, because we are talking about what is the ultimate spirituality, that Adisha explained is the wisdom gone beyond, it's the perfection of wisdom. So emptiness is so important to be realized and all that. And then I think probably it is again,Dromtenba, who asked another question to Adisha, and he said, well, if that's the case, then is realization of emptiness alone adequate to reach Buddhahood, to be a completely enlightened person?
Yes.
Yes. I think we need to rephrase this, although it seems like the realization of emptiness, but here it is used in a really unique sense. What he really meant is, when the realization of emptiness is integrated or combined with great compassion, okay, so that's the integrated path of emptiness and compassion. Is that an adequate path? And does that alone enable a practitioner to become a Buddha? Okay, so that's the question put before Adisha. So in other words, that I think Domdapa is not asking Adisha, is realization of emptiness alone in and of itself enough to become a Buddha? He's not asking that. Because the thing is that realized beings of hearers or Shravakas and Pratika Buddhas, they do have the realization of emptiness, but they are not Buddhas yet,
So that these land,
And great Adisha explains that first what you should know, that all the appearances, that means everything that appears to us, and everything that is known, right, the known to exist or whatever, okay, known phenomena, all of them have arisen from mind. So in other words, that what we can see with our eyes or visually, what we hear with our ears, sounds, all those things, according to Adisha, have come from mind. So what do you think of that? So Adisha, states that what we see and what we hear, all those things come from mind, and mind is empty. But what does he mean, mind is empty? He doesn't mean empty in the sense that mind does not exist at all. It is a non-existent. It's not there at all. By saying that mind is empty, what he meant is that mind is empty of inherent existence. Mind does not exist in and of itself, objectively. And I think Adisha couldn't have said mind doesn't exist at all, right? We all know, we all feel it, don't we? Right? Mind does exist. So how could he have said, or anybody have said, that mind doesn't exist at all?
That same regard tongba yin sila. That rikton te, rikton yimi do, toba te tawa yin sila. Rikba ta tongba yin bo te, ane, nisumepa tawa te, ane tawa yin sila, nisumepa tongba te, ta tawa yin sila.
And then he explains that the realization of the non-duality of mind and emptiness, that is the perfect view. Okay, we realize the non-dual nature, non-duality of mind and emptiness, then that is the realization of the perfect view.
Same tomba tayan, same te rigwa ta rigwa ta rigwa tomba tayan rigwa chag rigwa tayan tomba chag rigwa. Zu tomba tayan kere nyoban zu tomba tomba ni zuksu sindo.
So what I'm just explaining here is, you know, if you know, we go back to the Heart Sutra, where we talk about form is emptiness, emptiness is form. That's what it's talking about. Mind is emptiness, and emptiness is the mind. So once you understand or realize, actually, the non-dual nature of mind and its emptiness, then that is the realization of the perfect view.
Yes. Rigpa khura rangi tomba tomba chiyo rwa. Te eni rigpa ni sigur ma tiyan. Shetanga tomba tsama na tiyin sigur ma rida.
So well, as Adish explains that mind is emptiness and emptiness is mind. Of course, he doesn't mean that, you know, the mind and emptiness of all other phenomena, so that's the same as the mind. What he's really talking about, if you really look at the ultimate nature of mind, how does mind actually exist, then what we really see is that mind does not exist in and of itself. So that is the emptiness of the mind. So the emptiness of the mind and the mind are, you see, in a sense, non-dual.
Then, rang su sam tongas. Rang ke any same sin and do report the rangi chama tongbaris. Sem tomba tayan, sem Quran yago vermato, tili suba ki gyanim, yajim evres.
So then we can maybe just think about our own state of mind. Our own mind, what is its true nature? Its ultimate nature is that it is empty of inherent existence. It does not exist in and of itself objectively. Well, that's the ultimate nature of mind. But then what is mind? Mind is the non-inherently existent mind. That's what we're talking about. So the, you know, the emptiness of the mind and mind are very inseparable in a sense. So they are non-dual. They share, so to speak, the same entity-ness, you know. So once we remain continuously mindful of this non-duality of mind and its emptiness, that is what meditation is. Okay? So when we place our mind on this non-duality of mind and its emptiness, that they are one and the same thing in the ultimate sense, you know, mind is emptiness, emptiness is a mind. And when we, you know, become aware of that continuously, mindful of that, that is what we call meditation. Meditation on emptiness,
Nice.
And so that's what, you know, when we look at the, so to speak, the structure of the meditation, so to speak, what the meditation consists of. When you are in a meditative state, it is called the meditative equipoise state. You are in a deep meditation state. So then you are focused on the non-duality of mind and its emptiness. They are just inseparable. So being in that meditative state, you know, on the non-duality of mind, its emptiness, when we engage in all kinds of actions and activities, understanding that what we are doing is nothing but just like, you know, it's like an illusion, you know, illusory activities. So that is what we call the action or the practice, jeba, dependent word, which sometimes is translated as a conduct, okay, behavioral, you know, action. That's what it is. And so as we remain in that understanding or the mindfulness of the non-duality of mind, its emptiness, and then we engage in actions to accumulate merit, right, and accumulate wisdom. So what we're engaging in, all these things will appear to us like an illusion. Okay, because of the realization of that non-duality, all things will appear to us just like an illusion, or a magical creation, if you like. And so when we talk about Buddhist practice of action, or the cheba, the Tibetan term cheba, what we're really talking about is two things: accumulation of merit, or sanam, punya. So in order to accumulate merit, or have the accumulation of merit, we have to cultivate bodhicitta, or the altruistic state of mind. Okay? So in order to accumulate wisdom, or the insight, jnana in Sanskrit, we need to, you know, we need to, focus on or understand emptiness. Okay? So that's why when we talk about the two types of accumulation of merit and wisdom, we need to cultivate bodhicitta, altruism, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. So basically, now just to bring all these things together to home, so to speak, is Adisha was trying to explain these three essential things about Buddhism. What is the perfect view, Buddhist philosophy, or the perfect view? Right? So he said, it is the non-duality of emptiness and its mind. That is the perfect view. If you are mindful of that non-dual nature, so you are in the perfect view. What is the meditation? It's being mindful of that non-duality between mind and its emptiness. So that is the meditation. What is the Buddhist action, or the practice, or a deed? It is to be able to see all phenomena just like an illusion, magical creation, yet you engage in the accumulations of merit and wisdom. So in other words, that if we integrate realization of emptiness with bodhicitta, or the altruistic state of mind, so that is considered as the perfect view. Okay, and now if we remain in this state of mind, if you will, being mindful of this state of mind, so this is where the meditation comes into play. And out of this, you know, meditative state, so to speak, when we perform actions, we engage in the accumulation of merit, and also enhance our wisdom. That is what we call Buddhist practice or Buddhist action. In Buddhist literature, when we find statements such as all phenomena are just like an illusion or magical creation, just like, okay, it's a likeness too, like an illusion. That's a very profound statement, you know. And what it really means is, when we look at a magic show, magical creation, what's happening is that, you know, based upon collection of certain causes and conditions, a magician can create whatever magic, you know, he or she creates, right? But that magic is a result of, you know, so many things coming together. Okay? That magic doesn't come in and of itself because it depends on so many factors and so many variables. Okay? And in the same way, when we engage in the accumulation of merit, positive actions and wisdom, we depend on so many causes and conditions because they don't exist in and of themselves. And so we realize that all phenomena are empty of inherent existence, meaning nothing exists in and of itself, yet all things are possible, and we engage in the accumulations of merit and wisdom, which is just like a magical creation. Okay? Everything is nothing but a mere label. I mean, that's the subtle thing we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Nothing exists in and of itself. Everything is just a label, a mental imputation, you know. And it is at that level we are functioning.
That is, the tata nyamu the chupati. You know, madam, the young seta, and the tawatan, tawanje, tawatan, gomba the shiva sumbati, tagum shiva sumbati. Ani tanda ani pe zoni ta nyau de se pase pe kadi ni ta langa nga kyu ji yong ta ji shon na ani malam de yong gres malam de tinga nang yong gres.
So if we train our mind excuse me if we train our mind but it's just an allergy, so I don't have anything spreading to you. If we train our mind really well to cultivate those three things we briefly talked about, the perfect view, meditation, and action. Okay? And if we really train our mind well in those three things, cultivating, and as they become like our second nature, right? Now we have really developed so much in our practices that they somehow have become our second nature, then when we are dreaming, in a state of dream, these things could appear.
Yes. Yes.
So in our dream state, when we are dreaming, we are sleeping and dreaming, if all these three things can come up because of our second nature, so to speak, then at the time of death, where we really need them, so to speak, they'll also come on their own. So it becomes like a second nature.
That chigar shuna se, da? Chigar tende yung tu yun na, ane te ane jim machi bache, da padol yung kres kan.
So if these things can come on their own, so to speak, like a second nature at death and dying, so now we are going through the process of dying, then once we die and we move into what we call the intermediate state, the state between death and rebirth, which is called the Pardo state in Tibetan, right? They will continue into the Pardo. And if these things can appear in the Pardo state, intermediate state, then you are guaranteed to be able to attain to supreme attainment or enlightenment.
Pardo, that's Sanjay Kumar. When you remember that, any course you take, when you Sanjay Kumar, Pardo Jini, Pardo, I mean, any Pardo, Sanjay number is.
When we look at the life story of Jai Rinpoche or Manjushri Sri Lama Tsongkhapa sitting over there, he attained enlightenment in the Pardo state. Okay, because when after he passed away, he arose himself in an illusory body or a form in the intermediate Pardo state, and where he attained enlightenment.
That thing is, Zawe Ya Kuyate, Tanda Makta, Mambuti Masuni, Tandam Delani, Sanjigris, Padur, Sanjituris, Kanasumas.
So I'm explaining all these things, then ultimately the Adisha brings all the points to home. So because he said, you know what? The answer is yes. If you cultivate the integrated path, or the path of emptiness and great compassion or altruism, yes, that alone will take you to complete enlightened state. And we will stop there today, and so let's do some question answers.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm in the degree.
Yes, they're over there again. Oh. Yeah.
I understand the importance of suppressing anger and hatred,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes if I'm doing that, it keeps me from wanting to act in positive ways, for example, mm-hmm. counter war and social justice.
Mm-hmm.
So how does one, how can I suppress
The question that was being asked is about, you know, and I hope I represent you. If not, you can just, you know, correct me. It seems like we talked about how delusions are very hard to get rid of, but nonetheless, we need to try to bring them down. It's like downgrade them. So the question asked is, if we suppress our delusion, particularly anger, for instance, then somehow that impedes us from engaging in social actions, kind of social movements, you know, the injustice is going around, and now I'm not interested anymore, you know. So it's, I mean, how is that? So Keshava's explanation is, that seems like our experience, but even the better way to get engaged socially is we cultivate compassion. It's the art of compassion as a motivation, we can engage in those social actions, to bring justice, for instance. And I think compassion will have a long-lasting effect. When you really cultivate a sense of compassion, you have that sense of caring, when you engage in those actions, you will be doing that for a long time. You know, when we do something with anger, we just feel like so uptight and like, go, I'm going to do this. Well, the anger doesn't last that long. It just, you know, and then that's it. You see, now, you know, there's the stops, you know. So whereas the compassion, it just has that lasting effect, you know.
And what did you get today? A meaning.
It's the balloon out of air.
Okay, that's good. Anything?
Okay, did I see another hand? Yes, Michael.
Okay, we kind of all grasp the idea of purification of karma, but what's happening when we accept that fact, the situation arises, or a continuous situation, and what works, there's like a gray area there between accepting that as ripening karma or being a sucker. I mean, how long do you keep trying to work it out, and as a natural order of things?
And acceptance of that, right? Quran ki kandish this is that given among the chain layer which in a touch lay pa chang kwa dar wa ken in sumber wa gyun de che wa res in zam zam le kol le mi in do kol ya ta mi ba de so ta 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 ling go wa ken che che ta le ta ba le ya da ya kol le be chang ai di bu ru wa ken tan de che wa so le sen ko rang sing chung de ng ru sa de go wa da
na yi se ken de me
rang sing de ken da ka so this wa da ken da ko che le la da ten go ro in ne ko chi
Yeah,
The question was, something to do with how, you know, one way we have to continuously make efforts to purify our karma and do the good karma stuff. But another sense, you know, there's a sense of like the karma seems to be like a natural thing that's happening, you know, and the acceptance of some things happening to us. The Geshe-la's explanation is, we have to understand how when we create karma, before they ripen, good or bad karmas, right, we can sort of intervene them, intercept them in a sense through our purification practice so that we do not have to experience the results of those karma. But at times, the karma is already ripened upon us, so it's ripening. So this is where it's more like acceptance of it, and then as we go through to whatever the results karma has brought upon us, still we could do what we call the Tonglen practice, the practice of taking others' suffering upon ourselves and giving whatever goodness, happiness to others. We said, by my experience of this karma, whatever the result, all these difficulties, may others do not have to experience this, you know, this kind of thing anymore. Yeah? So we can still bring ourselves into that framework of mind, you know, to deal with the karma. Does that answer your question somewhat?
Let's say it's a financial situation where you can't really afford to go too far because it's affecting your life. You know, it's not like it's a personal issue. It's more of a being cheated or something, let's say. So obviously it has to stop. You can't keep going on being cheated. Trying to rationalize, well, maybe I was a thief in the past.
Can I be cheated?
I've done this or that, it's, you know, it's happening to me. But, I mean, it has to cease, so just keep praying and hoping it's going to stop.
Well, in a situation like that, you know, of course, you know, I mean, many things are related to what we did in the past. Let's say, I mean, we are doing something negative. Let's say, you know, stealing others' property, because maybe in the past life we were thieves anyway. So there's a continuation of that. Now, we cannot sort of, explain this, like, oh, yeah, that's what I did in the past. So past karma is impacting me. So as if I cannot change anything. We could change. And as a matter of fact, we should, realizing that while by doing all these things, how much, suffering we are bringing to others for the difficulties, you know, and whatever weak difficulties we are going through, right, so we do not want to do that anymore, so therefore thinking about all those things, we should try to stop, you know, doing, not because this is a continuation of the past life. So that's even more reason why we should try to stop now. The good part is if you somehow believe in, or if you could recognize it, that something I'm doing now, negative or whatever, positive has no problem, like the negative is maybe due to my past life. But if we have that recognition, or at least we believe in that, then we say, okay, this is not a good thing. Okay, how much difficulty it put myself in by doing this and bring, you know, suffering to others. And then if we try to generate some positive state of mind or do something strong, powerful, positive action, but the positive, you know, we cannot undermine the power of the positive thing. Sometimes, you know, when you really develop so much intimacy with doing something positive, you know, and it becomes such a powerful antidote to counteract the negativity. And sometimes even in the dream state, your karma could be purified. And it seems like when you are awake, nothing seems to be happening, but you are dreaming about something like, you know, and that is the purification of your karma, and then you don't do it anymore.
So a punch in the mouth would be out of the question.
Yeah, that's right. The Musoshi and everything. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, yes.
It's okay. You're okay?
Yeah.
Yes,
I'll come back to Kusho. Yeah. Yeah.
Could you please explain us more about the illusory body and the clear light?
We say that you look at the sun for the
The
question that was asked was, could Geshe-la explain a little bit about illusory body in clear light? And Geshe-la said, well, that's rather difficult to explain. The thing is that without a good training of the mind in bodhicitta and the understanding of emptiness, we cannot receive tantric empowerments or initiations. So without tantric empowerments, you cannot talk about those things or even listen to those things. So it will be difficult to explain and difficult for you even to understand or follow me. So we won't do that. And Kushala, yeah.
So let's say we have a bus. Mm-hmm. 20 people on the bus. Mm-hmm. Each person has one suitcase. Mm-hmm. But one person feels it needs 20, they need 20 suitcases. Mm-hmm. So they would actually become a hindrance for all the other people on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So at a certain point,
people
say something to the other person about their 20 suitcases.
Okay. Can I just go again? What I can't tell you, or again, say what? More than China, like me, you should see object, me, the long one is in a top down, the suitcase must catch home. In a meeting, you should see your main, and me, somebody get a quality at that nation to give my rest of love show or vessel or that for my.
So she loved me, Lankit, London degrees.
No.
So she, Tidosh in the seven, so she passion Jimmer was. Till a German state.
So she tells.
Was it?
But the Dossos and Yamdo Yoro mean you stop at your water, Sue London degrees, or the Kinsan of Chen degrees, or that. You should get anything more immediately, Chim was care for Dion was.
I love the New Kitchen, and do the Lamney Awareness.
No.
I love the New Kitchen, and Jericho, and you love Germans.
Yes. And the culture also, that for Joe or again.
Don't you see?
I mean, madam, you stand to wear your mother.
That you mean, Zagari, God, 11, so 11, 11.
I'm going to try to explain. And Geshe-la said, you know, in that case, situation like that, you know, yes, I mean, you can rationally explain to the other person, especially if the other person is somebody who will listen to you, right? That's a good thing to do. But if the other person is somebody who is gung-ho about it, not going to listen, well, better not say it because then it's going to be fight, you know. But I said, then you can't, you know, start your journey. What do you do? He says, well, then whatever that's left out, it has to stay. That's the reality, you know, need to go, hit the road, you know.
Yeah, this is it.
Did I see a hand somewhere? No.
That didn't. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Anila. One more. Yeah.
It seems like the terminology non-dual is mm-hmm. very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Could Geshe-la please give more elaboration of more of an example of what non-dual means?
Yes. Take again. This one more. What? Then pasole tam. Chojigi, Bena Singi, Simran Singi Tomba, the Senni, the Chiba, the Sonja, the Nime. The Nime said the Sigi Shiragi, because of Sigi Kuranpa, Mixi Kuyu, and Chad was the equal king, Sisha Naranasa. Nime
said, Sally lost Saint Chini Gaj Mavris. Saint Chini lost Saint Gaj Mavris. The legal, I wasn't thinking about.
You know, trying to explain it as simple as I could is like when we think of the emptiness of the mind, without mind, you cannot establish its emptiness. You know, you cannot talk about the emptiness of the mind without the mind, you know. And without the emptiness of the mind, you really cannot talk about the mind. So that's what we meant by, you know, non-duality of mind and its, you know, emptiness. But that is not only with the mind alone, but every phenomenon is like that. Whatever the phenomenon is, something that exists, that's what we meant by phenomenon according to Buddhism, right? That phenomenon and its emptiness are intimately related to one another. But without that phenomenon, you cannot talk about its emptiness. Without its emptiness, you cannot talk about that phenomenon. So that's the non-dual nature of a phenomenon and its emptiness.
26 came here.
Who was trying to bring on the suitcases?
Okay, that's good. I'm going to tell you guys.
Okay, we will stop there at a good point here.
Honest. Pangarazu tani rang ni plan to encourage you to give it all again. Sanji temara mujita jiyul ne nevakyo. Ani temal jibi tinji shibu tamana ji. Da yina bi jibi tinji risu ma shibi. Tinji shibu tamana ji kuzi kebi temal jibi tuji ina da mimin lindu yun wakyo. Chuji shuo pumana ji chundi shawana yisun tundu bata. Yidi ji kam dada yendo. Minti bi bi tuta da kini. Tunji ina su tanda mimin lindu yun wakyo.
let us dedicate our collective marriage for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters from all traditions remain healthy, long, and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, by the power of our marriage, may all kind mother sentient beings be free of all the two types of mental obscuration and reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Questions important, we wish for everyone to have the cause of the, the hearing, little body in the clear light. We need to have the condition for them.
Gisela wants to acknowledge that the question asked by Kim, you know, request to explain illusory body in clear light, that's really important subject. We do not want to undermine those things, and Gisela very much hope and pray that everybody realizes, or we are able to realize illusory body in clear light. But having said that, because of the restrictions and parameters, and this is maybe not the right, you know, context to talk about them, so we couldn't answer the question.
Next time.
So, today Gisela is busy, he said, you don't need to come up to see him.
Next Sunday we hear.